And welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. We have kind of a special edition show for you again here today, but it's not a mock draft. Instead, we are going to answer all your fan questions. We were going to do a written piece today, but we got so many questions that we decided we're just going to talk about it in person because it's a little bit easier on us. So Gary Kessler here, joined, as always, well, at least per usual, by Hani Amadian. Hani, did I say that right?
You did say that right. I'm proud of you.
One for one. And then joining us today is one of the founding members of Lakers Outsiders, although we never see him anymore because he's too busy carrying the show at Silver Screen and Roll, is Harrison Fagan. Harrison, what's going on, man?
Not too much today, thankfully. It's been like a light news day, so I'm like fully expecting a couple rumors to drop that the Lakers are considering Buddy Hield with or trading back for Buddy Hield.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're going to be on this for, what, 30 or 45 minutes, and, yeah, there's going to be a bombshell that just drops out of nowhere.
Like, that's going to happen. Like, Ben Simmons is going to be on TMZ demanding to go to the Lakers.
And we're going to have to cut the podcast.
Just, like, yelling, like, I trusted the process, and I love Sam Hinkie, but now he's gone, and I don't want to go to Philly. Just break the internet.
So, yeah, So, yeah, everybody keep an eye out for that and maybe let us know if something crazy happens.
Send us your fake Lakers rumors.
So, yeah, as I mentioned to start out, this is just going to be simply a mailbag segment where we are just answering all your guys' questions. We got so many last night right after midnight Pacific time, and it was crazy. I didn't expect that kind of a turnout right away, but... we appreciate it. We love the questions you guys send us, unless it's about, you know, it's too many questions about potatoes kind of gets under my skin a little bit. But no, we got a lot of Lakers questions today. So
potato skin?
I should have purposely mispronounced your last name, though. So, yeah, let's just dive right into it. We're going to try and get to all of these. We had so many, though, that if this goes too long, we might have to save it for next time. But all right, the first question is from Lakers Nation 86. He just says, talk about the rumors, as we've already kind of alluded to it, that Ben Simmons is trying to come to the Lakers on the next podcast. Harrison, you've been kind of all over this kind of stuff, covering it for Silver Screen and Roll. What's kind of your take on that whole scenario?
I don't think he's actually trying to force his way to the Sixers. I think that was the whole, like, trying to force his way to the Lakers. there was the whole thing before the draft, that Vertical report that he wanted the bigger shoe deal that he could get in LA. And while I'm sure that that's true, Philadelphia is not exactly a small media market. I think that part of that was posturing just in case, like, say Boston got the number one pick. I don't know that he would necessarily want to go somewhere where he couldn't be the star player right away. Like, Boston probably, I don't know if they bring him off the bench, but he definitely wouldn't have as large of a role there as he'd have somewhere else. Or some smaller market where he's not going to, like, his shoe deal won't be as valuable right off the bat. And so I think it was kind of posturing for that. It sounds like, especially because it's Philly, and, you know, his family has a prior relationship with Brett Brown. Brian Colangelo went on the radio yesterday and said he has a very good relationship with Simmons' agent. So I just don't think that that's going to be a real thing that's happening. I think that it's definitely going to be a thing that gets drummed up for clicks a lot over the next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessarily... I don't think that he's actually trying to force his way to the Lakers anymore. I think if there was, like, some smaller market team jumps in there, possibly. But I think Philly, like you saw, Allen Iverson is a cultural icon because of his time in Philadelphia. Like, it's not some tiny market where you're not going to, like, no one's going to care about your team.
Right, and they're not like the Kings, you know, where it's like, you know, careers.
Yeah, if the Kings had gotten the first pick, I think Ben Simmons is trying to force his way to the Lakers.
But yeah, like you alluded to with Allen Iverson, and I mean, they've had star players there before with, you know, Julius Erving and you know, a few more down the line. Hani, do you think, I mean, Simmons is going to try and force his way to L.A., or do you think his camp is just kind of content going wherever at this point?
I think they're fine with whatever. The thing I look at is his agent is the same as LeBron's agent, and they were totally content with LeBron being drafted in Cleveland, which, I mean, like, it's a little different because he's the hometown guy there, but when you're talking about shoe deals and whatnot, I don't think Cleveland is necessarily the place that you want to go to get a massive shoe deal, so I think they'll be fine staying in Philly.
So they're not the shoe deal capital of the world, is what you're saying?
Apparently not.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Anthony Irwin on our podcast last week, and I thought that he made a really good point that if you go to some market, like people say markets don't matter anymore, and that's true if you're a superstar player like LeBron, KD, Steph Curry, that type of thing. And so basically, if you're going to a small market and you want a big shoe deal like most of these players are, you're betting that you're going to be as good as those guys. And maybe Simmons isn't willing to do that yet, that he's going to be that transformational, or they're not willing to count that Adidas or Nike will value him as that transformational.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because, I mean, nowadays it's so different than the way it used to be, say, back in, like, 2000, you know, where, I mean, the Lakers just dominated the NBA and they dominated the market, right? And now you have the social media era where it's a lot easier for guys that are in smaller markets. Like, you look at Durant and Westbrook in Oklahoma City, that's not viewed as, like, a major market. And, I mean, they're basically global superstars, you know, so... we're just the day and age we're in, I think it's easier to go to particular teams and really stand out. But I, you know, like I mentioned,
if you're really good.
Yeah, if you're really good, like, you're going to get noticed. But I think there are certain situations that you still want to avoid in those regards. Like I mentioned Sacramento earlier. It's just tough. But I think Philadelphia is a market that's at least strong enough to where Simmons, if he becomes a superstar, I mean, it's not going to matter whether he would be there or Los Angeles. He's going to get a ton of endorsement deals either way. So I don't think it's really a big deal. But that's transitioning into the next question, though. If Philly has a change of heart and they draft Brandon Ingram, David on Twitter, which is at TKTWIT12, he asks, what do you think the Lakers do with Randall if they draft Simmons? And Hani, I'll let you start this one.
I think to start, they would be willing to see if they can play together, see if Randall and Simmons can play together, see if either of their jump shooting improves to the point where you can play them on the court at the same time. I think it would be a pretty safe bet that they would try to trade Randall eventually, just because Simmons is a better prospect. And right now, based on what we know about the two of them, they really can't play next to each other, at least not very often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for now, I think they would be content to just sit back and see how it develops.
Yeah, Harrison, would you agree that, I mean, they would have to at least try it out first, or do you think that they would have to really kind of explore the market for Randall right from the start?
So, have to try it out. I don't know that they have to try it out. I do think that they will try it out. Because I don't think that Randall's the risk that we're going to run into, though, is that I don't know if Randall's value is high enough right now that you want to trade him, but I also don't know that his value is going to improve by playing next to Simmons. And so it's like it would kind of be – it's a real gamble they're taking either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I have trust in Luke Walton, which it's weird to trust a Lakers coach at this point, but – I would trust.
I wrote 2,000 words about trusting Luke Walton yesterday, and that went up this morning on Silver Screen and Roll. You guys can check it out today if you want. But I think that there are plenty of reasons to trust him.
Yeah, I mean, when you just look at, I mean, the stuff that Golden State runs and the versatility that their offense has. I mean, they have really versatile players. But you know, if Simmons and or Randall are able to develop at least a respectable jump shot, I mean, that opens up a lot of things and a lot of possibilities for their offense, and I think could make the transition a little smoother. And you'd also look at some small ball lineups with Simmons, I think, at the five, but although you wouldn't want that to be like a permanent thing because defensively you'd probably really struggle. But I would trust that Luke Walton could figure some things out in at least maybe a season or so. And then if it doesn't, I mean, then, yeah, you probably explore the trade market, kind of see what you can get. I mean, if not, maybe Randall gets relegated to sixth man or something like that. There's a lot of questions with that. But as it stands, I don't think we'll have to really worry about it just because I think I would be surprised if Philly doesn't take Simmons anyways. So
It really sounds like if they're not going to take Simmons, they're throwing up a hell of a smokescreen. Like, their coach compared him to LeBron James and Magic Johnson in the in back-to-back sentences the other day. Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't even know if he might just be in love with Simmons.
Yeah, that's not the type of player you would typically pass on and be able to justify it.
Like, yeah. You know the guy our coach compared to LeBron and Magic Johnson? We didn't draft him.
Maybe Brett Brown was just talking about his Twitter presence. And I think he would pass on it.
Just subtweets and obvious stuff.
If he's got the subtweets down, man, he's turning into LeBron James, like, right away.
But, which Paul is teaching him.
Oh, yeah. That's part of being his client, I guess. Okay, so the next question actually, I think, probably transcends into the free agency more so. And it's Jason, who is at SportsJO13, asks, who is a possible rim protector next season? And he also asks, they won't bring back Roy Hibbert, will they? What do you think?
No. They will not. I mean, it kind of, we've been over the centers that are available to them. There's Whiteside, obviously, at one end with the max. There's Horford, who I don't think would necessarily come here. But you actually, Gary, in your Brandon Ingram piece the other day, I thought made like an interesting point that Horford would be a very good fit for this team if he was willing to come in and babysit the kids. I don't know that he's necessarily willing to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, at the other end, you have guys like Biombo, Festus Ezeli. I'm not sure how you say his name still. I'm going to need some confirmation on that. So you have Biombo, Ezeli. Who am I missing off the top of my head?
There's Tyler Zeller, which is kind of on the lower end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
You can get him for less than the max, which is rare this summer.
Yeah, Jan Mahimi, I think, is what Hani was just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Mahimi, I think, would be a decent one.
Yeah, I mean, there's some options out there. I'm actually going to write about this in a little bit, so I really won't comment other than I don't think Hibbert will be back either. but there's a couple options that I think could be, I guess, stopgap options until free agency next summer, which is a much, much better free agency class overall that is just loaded with star power. I was looking at it when I was writing my Ingram piece yesterday, and I was just astonished at all the names that are going to be available in free agency next summer with the cap increasing to around $110 million too.
Every single one of these mailbags next season is going to just be like 20 questions of will the Lakers sign Westbrook?
Yeah, it's
Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka, Steven Adams.
Just sign the whole Thunder team.
We're gonna be the LA Thunder. Yeah, it's like we all thought that this summer was gonna be crazy for free agency, but next summer is going to be just insane. You know, because this class kind of died off rather quickly. It looked promising, and then you know some of the guys that were expected to be at the top just kind of fizzled out a little bit. So
shout out to Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Hey Gary, with the money that's going to be available next summer, you should start promoting your mixtape a little bit. You might be able to at least get like a training camp invite.
Oh dear God!
For all of you listening, I'll post a link to that after the show if you want.
Good thing I'm
doing it.
So yeah, let's just go on to the next question. Hani mentioned Jan Mahimi. We kind of covered, I think, all the rim protectors. It's kind of an interesting class this year, but
Well, who would be out of the, like, obviously outside of Whiteside and Horford, who would be your guy's number one choice?
I would
don't spoil ahead. Your whole piece, Gary, but you know, give us something.
Well, my first choice, I guess, would probably be Biombo, just simply because of the fact that you know, he's shown that he's a really good rim protector. He's rebounded the ball like crazy in the playoffs. He just had 26 rebounds the other night. And I think you can get him on a relatively cost or like a team-friendly contract with the cap increasing. You know, I think you might get him for about $15 million a year, which a lot of people see that and freak out. But when the cap is going to increase to $110 million or so next summer, That I mean, that contract looks really, really good. So, and he's 23 years old. So, I mean, that's you're kind of hoping that he just keeps getting better and better. So,
yeah, I think he'd be a good option. Hani, what do you think? Who would be your? I know you make a lot of Biombo jokes on Twitter. I think is Biombo your guy too?
Well, see, that's the difficult part. Azealia is also easy to pun on Twitter. So,
Lakers, don't make him a GM.
That's how he targets free agents.
Just builds the most pun-friendly team.
I could easily be a GM. besides the punning, he might be my number one option, just because I think he's at least close defensively to Biombo, if not at the same level. But I think he's a better offensive player, and he's better in the pick and roll, which I think would really help D'Angelo Russell. Only thing I worry about is that he probably costs just Biombo, if not more, and he's restricted, and he has a history of knee injuries, so I don't know about giving him all that money.
Yeah, I think the restricted thing is going to end up keeping the Lakers away from him, just because they don't really have a history of targeting restricted free agents because they're worried about being matched. So I guess we'll see. But I actually, I'll agree with you for the additional reason that Azili has already played in Luke Walton's system, and I think that since they're similar levels of talent, kind of similar skill sets in a lot of ways, that's the kind of guy maybe you want to go after. Because we already know that he can look good in the type of basketball that Luke Walton wants to play.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors that come into play with Azili, and I think, like you said, Harrison, ultimately that he's a restricted free agent, I think it makes it really, really unlikely that he comes over. I mean, he might sign an offer sheet if the Lakers want to try, but, I mean, he's a pretty valuable member of that second unit for Golden State, and, you know, I think they would prefer to lose Harrison Barnes over Azili. So, but I mean, you never know. All right, we spent a lot of time on that question.
Hey, I mean, it was a good question. It was worth getting into.
At Fly Like Bryant simply asked how to pronounce Hani's name. we actually talked about this before we went on the air, but it is pronounced Hani. Like H-A and then knee, like Festus Azili's knee injury problem. So, oh yeah, that's...
How okay. Dare you joke about knee injuries?
Oh, good God, don't you even start with me. Okay, back to a serious question. Twitter name is hashtag InMitchWeTrust, which is at lists10. Just ask if Jim really does step down after next season... Mitch would still be here, right? Hani, do you think Mitch would still be here even if Jim Buss is gone?
I kind of don't think so, because I think the only way that Jim Buss would be gone would be if all those rumors about Genie wanting to get Phil Jackson back in L.A. would be the right thing. And if Phil Jackson's in L.A., then I don't think he's going to be working with Mitch Kupchak. So I think they're kind of like a wrestling duo that's either together or not.
A tag team.
Yeah.
Harrison, you see, I mean, you would think Mitch has done enough to kind of warrant him staying, though, don't you think? Or do you think Phil would just kind of clean house if he comes over?
See, I honestly think that Mitch would step down if Jim Buss also stepped down with his deadline. I just don't know that he wants to do the whole transition to a new front office, figure out a whole new power structure at his age. Like, I think he's made enough money and done enough. I don't know that he necessarily would want to go through that. I mean, I don't know him personally. Maybe he does. But, like, just watching him at the lottery last week, like, how painful that looked. Like, just, like, having to sit up there and deal with, like, with lottery balls spinning around in a machine. Like, I can't imagine being under the gun and trying to figure out if the guy that you've worked with for the last, like, what, like 10 years now is going to keep his job or lose it. Like,
yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that Jim Buss has been in his role as VP since 2005. So, I mean, he's been through, you know, kind of a rebuild, and they've reached the top of the mountain, as Kobe likes to always say, and now they're kind of back down at the bottom and trying to build their way back up. But
yeah, but it's one thing that's important to remember is that every good decision the Lakers have made since Jim Buss took over was Mitch Kupchak. So that's why hashtag it Mitch for trust.
Oh, I'm not even going to dive into that topic.
Like, it was so awesome when Mitch signed Steve Nash, and then when it didn't work out, it was like a terrible move by Jim Buss. I just...
And joining us on the podcast today is Stephen A. Smith.
That is preposterous!
So I guess this would be like an episode of First Take. So, honey, that pretty much just makes you Skip Bayless at this point, I think.
Oh, dear God.
So you got to yell something about LeBron really quick.
And you got to say...
LeBron James is a choker. He does not know how to win.
And you're apparently a Spurs fan, although you have like 12 other teams that you root for. It's cool.
And I scored like 12 points in a middle school basketball game one time.
All right, so the next question is from at @LAX_Cal. He says, aside from both forward positions, how do you feel Simmons at point guard with D'Angelo at shooting guard, or with Simmons playing center some minutes, which we talked about a little bit? So, Hani, I'll throw it back to you. Do you think that would be more ideal instead of having Simmons maybe play like a small ball five, having him basically be the team's point guard facilitator with D'Angelo being off the ball?
I'm not sure if it would be ideal, but I would definitely want them to try it. You know, I think Simmons is the kind of player that you'd want to play at a bunch of different positions. And the fact that, you know, he's basically a giant point guard that plays power forward would probably make him a decent actual point guard. We saw point Giannis be super awesome for the last month of the season, so why not try it with Simmons and see if he can do the same thing?
Right, and I mean, Hani kind of mentioned it. Simmons is kind of like a 6'10 point guard, right? So you would kind of have to utilize his playmaking skills.
Yeah, absolutely you would. And I love weird basketball, so I'm all for playing him at point guard for small stretches, but I just don't understand what this rush is to just, like, push D'Angelo Russell out of the point guard spot because he couldn't have tremendous success the entire season in one of the worst offenses we've ever seen. Like, I think you have to give him a chance to play point guard under Luke before you're trying to push him to the side. Now, should he always have the ball in his hands when Simmons is on the floor? No. I think that they should alternate. I think that Clarkson should get to handle it some. I think that it'll be a lot like Golden State where, you know, Draymond Green pushes the break sometimes and brings the ball down. And, you know, and Klay Thompson handles the ball plenty. Like, they have all kinds of ball handlers all over the place. And so I think that that's just a benefit with Luke Walton coming in and wanting to play a similar style of basketball. The Lakers aren't going to have the same amount of success, but they have some pieces to where you think, like, okay, they could play a poor man's version of this.
Yeah, and what could be really dangerous is if you put, you know, like Simmons at the small ball five out there with, say, D'Angelo, Clarkson, Randall, whoever at small forward, and, you know, you have Simmons at the five. Basically, any player that could, you know, grabs a rebound can push the break themselves. And
yeah.
Having that versatility and transition would make things so much easier, and just the motion and the movement would be, I mean, it would be beautiful to watch just because they would have those options available to them. So that'd be a lot of fun, but, you'd have to find kind of the right mix in a half-court setting, because I think, like I just said, you've got versatile players that can play multiple positions and create for themselves and others, and you'd have to utilize all of that. So it'd be kind of just finding the balance for everything. So, okay, the next question. We kind of already talked about this. It's from at Roscoe, but it's Rawsko94. He just says, tell us about Hassan Whiteside. We've kind of already talked about it, so I'll just kind of add. I was looking at some numbers on Nylon Calculus last night, and Whiteside actually contested shots at the rim more than anybody in the league besides one player, and it was kind of a surprising name. It was actually Cole Aldrich who...
I thought you were going to say Roy Hibbert, and I was prepared to spit coffee again. I was like, wait, does getting dunked on count as contesting the shot?
Yeah, Whiteside was second in the league in rim contest percentage, and I think it was around, 41%. And then the opposition shot 46% at the rim against Whiteside. So that was near the top of the list. I think it was like top 10 or top 15. But it's still, it was still like 5% off of the 41%. I can't remember who had the best rim contest or the opponent field goal percentage, but you know, you just watch him play, and I mean, he contests so much in the paint, and he changes and alters shots that, you know, it's tough to not want a guy like that as your defensive anchor. So, next question is from Craig Freeman, friend of the show. He just asked, Harrison, I guess I'll let you answer this one first. He says, who is your favorite non-Ben Simmons Australian? And he says, the answer can be me.
Okay, the answer is not him. It's, you know, that's a tough one. I'm probably gonna have to go Andrew Bogut.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I like how he's kind of, like, even though he can get a little bit, like, internet commentary sometimes with, like, how he blames the media for things.
Yeah.
I think that he is an entertaining and candid interview. I enjoy listening to him talk at times.
Honey, do you, is Craig your favorite non-Ben Simmons Australian?
No. I'm going to go with Russell Crowe. I think he did a wonderful job as a gladiator. He's got a new movie out, apparently.
Oh, yeah, and it actually looks really good. What's it called? The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, this is what fun. You guys tuned into a Lakers podcast
for. Yeah. Hey. I'll be expecting that check from the movie studio, though, for that free
play. Hold on, Gary. Let me stop you for a second right here. I know you like to go to the movies, but what if I told you about my friends at Fandango? And they could get you the hookup for one free ticket with the purchase of two other ones. Just use the code Harrison on Fandango. This is not a real promo. Don't try. I mean, it might work. You guys can try it, but they didn't pay me for that.
That started out as a 30 for 30 piece with the what if I told
you. My favorite podcast plugs are can I go on a rant for a second?
Like, go for it.
JJ Redick, you are an NBA player. You don't have to be doing podcast plugs, man. Just sponsor the show yourself. Just do your plugs for JJ Redick. Like, how much can like MeUndies actually be paying you that it's worth it to plug them? MeUndies, if you want to plug the podcast, I have no shame. I'm just saying, JJ Redick, you're a millionaire. You don't have to do this.
Oh my God, this podcast is quickly.
Sorry, that's just been on my mind. I haven't had a place to express it. So,
Harrison Bagan's next column is going to be on JJ Redick.
Why JJ Redick is too good for SeatGeek promos.
You got to end it with my column.
Yeah, my column.
Yeah.
Okay, so @Drew_Pack is asking us, what is the spirit animal of each of the writers participating in this segment? Ani, do you have a spirit animal?
Right now, off the top of my head, Steven Adams, man. He's been killing good in the playoffs, and he's going through some major pain, which is something I can relate to.
Harrison. Who do you got, or what do you got?
Have you guys seen that vine of the pig dancing to work by Rihanna? Oh my God. That's how I feel every day.
All right, I'll build off of Harrison's sentiment. Have you guys seen that vine of that little baby goat that's just like hopping around and jumping off of other goats, and then he finally jumps around in a circle and like drop kicks the other one,
like right in the head?
Yeah. That's me. I'm that baby goat.
Yeah, having gone to Summer League with Gary last year, I can confirm.
Oh, good God.
Very surprised you didn't say your spirit animal was a potato, but
you can't eat your spirit animal.
Oh, man.
Not that attitude.
I forgot how off the rails these go.
Although if I guess Harrison could eat his spirit animal if he ate some bacon, but
I don't know. I'm a vegetarian, man. Can't do it.
All right. Next question from Eric White, 406, asks, ideally, I guess we'll try and run through this one really quick because this could take a while, but Actual realistic Lakers team next season, players 1 through 15. So I guess I'll limit it to, because we know about 7 or 8 players that will be on the Lakers next year. Who are, Harrison, who are a couple free agents that you could see the Lakers adding this year?
That's a good question, because now that it looks like they're going to draft Ingram, I think that their number one target is going to be a center, and I really think they're going to get Hassan Whiteside. I think there's a good shot, because I just, unless the Heat's negotiations with Dwayne Wade get really acrimonious again, which I guess is possible, there's just almost no way with the cap math that they can keep both.
Yeah.
And so I think that Whiteside's eminently available, and so if the Lakers are willing to throw him the max, I can definitely see him in Los Angeles next season.
Yeah. Honey, okay, so Hassan Whiteside's off the board. Who else do you see the Lakers possibly getting?
Actually, since if we are talking about Whiteside, I think I would really want them to get a good veteran presence on the team, just because there's a lot of questions about Whiteside's attitude, and if you're putting him on as young of a team with a super young head coach, I think I'd want a player that could...
He's going to teach D'Angelo how to Snapchat.
Talk about church as cake. So I'll go with Jared Dudley. He's probably not my top choice as a free agent, obviously, but I think he's a good veteran guy who can also still play and space the floor a little bit and do all of that, so I think Jared Dudley would be a...
Actually, I like that, especially with Luke wanting to play small, play like the Warriors. I could definitely see him at the four a little bit in those minutes.
I could just see Kobe like texting Mitch after he sees reports that Dudley might sign with the Lakers after his comments like last year or 2 years ago. He's like, Mitch, if you ever sign that guy, I swear to God.
I will go on Inside the NBA and ether Jim Buss this entire season.
No, I mean, I like both of those. I think I agree with, if you have Whiteside, you need a veteran presence there with him. Just because, I mean, Luke
well,
is
that's
a
why they signed Durant, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say my veteran presence is Durant, but if they don't, sign Durant, I can claim I was just kidding, but if not, you heard it here first. Kevin Durant's going to be a Laker.
Sources say.
Sources say. My source is my tweet that was a mathematic word problem that wound up being the answer is KD to LA. So, this is a question we've gotten a couple times, and I think it's a really good question, and Hani, you can answer this first, but I am Staz Maddox on Twitter asks, which player would benefit more from being a Laker and why? Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons?
Ooh, who would benefit more from being a Laker? It's a tough question. I'll go with Brandon Ingram just because of the fit issue. I think he's got... The fact that he has so many players that can create for him will see him succeed because he's a really good shooter. If he went to Philly, for example, he'd probably be the number one ball handler on that team unless they max out Dennis Schroeder. So, yeah, I think Brandon Ingram could probably gain the most from being a Laker.
I can see what you're saying, but at the same time, I think that Simmons has worse fit issues in both places. So I think coming to Los Angeles, where he's going to be a bigger deal by definition, I think would do more for his market value.
Well, and yeah. Playing alongside D'Angelo Russell, someone he's familiar with, I think would probably help his case too. But I actually have to – I agree that it would be Ingram just from an on-the-court standpoint, just because I think with Ingram coming here – You know, the Lakers already have two, like, primary ball handlers with Clarkson and Russell, assuming that Clarkson is re-signed, which I'm sure he will be. And I think with Ingram kind of being a plug-and-play guy right from the start, because I can see him struggling a little bit with the physicality of the NBA and the speed of the game a little more than Simmons might right away. So I think the fact that he would have, you know, Russell and Randall and Clarkson and those guys next to him, I think that would be more ideal for him because he wouldn't have so much pressure to be kind of like the face of the franchise because I think D'Angelo already kind of has that. So, you know, Simmons, I think you can put him in either destination, and he's going to be fine either way. But I think with Ingram, it would be more ideal for him to kind of come in and not be the focal point of the offense necessarily, like Simmons would probably be wherever he goes. So, but no, I mean, you can make an argument for both guys for sure. So,
Lakers should just draft both.
just buy the Philly's pick. Like, we'll give you like $1 billion. Just give us the number one.
We'll throw in Nick Young.
Nick Young returns home.
The I'm coming home montage for Nick Young. He gets like the Skylar Gray song playing as he's introduced coming off the bench in a blowout loss.
Get Lee Jenkins to ghostwrite a piece about him going back to Philly.
Why I came back to Philly. They decided to pay me, mostly.
My other team didn't want me there anymore.
Oh, poor Swaggy.
All right. Moving on from Swaggy real quick. I have a feeling he's probably going to come back up in this, but at King Bagella, I apologize if I say that wrong, but just simply asked, build or buy, which I'm sure is alluding to, do you think the Lakers should build through the draft, or do you think they should explore trading the pick for an established talent? Harrison, I mean, which route do you think would be more beneficial?
It's keeping it, for sure. I think with the younger guys that they have on the roster and no clear free agent, like huge free agent targets this offseason, short of Durant. So, like, if they sign Durant, obviously you go win now. But if they don't, then I think that you got to see what you have in these young guys and try and build organically.
Yeah.
And see if you can build kind of what the Thunder did, which is just like with a bunch of high lottery picks, which again, like, I think has been overstated as a model for contention. There aren't a lot of teams that have actually successfully done it, but the Thunder have, and the Lakers have high picks now to where you think, you know, like, those guys aren't as good as Durant and Westbrook, obviously, but eventually they could be something. And so I think that you've got to give them a chance to see how high their ceiling is.
Yeah. Honey, would you agree with that, that it's probably more beneficial to build through the draft?
Yeah, and the thing I look at is I don't think there's an obvious guy that you can trade the pick for that you can say the other team would be willing to give him up and the Lakers would be better off for it. I don't think there's any guy that I could see that happening with. Like, I bounced around the idea of, say, Gordon Hayward, and I don't know if the Jazz would ever do that, but even if they did, I don't know if it's a smart idea for the Lakers to get not an old guy, but an older guy that's going to be paid a whole lot of money when they can get someone like Ingram for super cheap.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people have talked about Jimmy Butler or DeMarcus Cousins or Paul George, and, you know, they're like, oh, just trade the pick for that guy. And it's like, if you were, you know, Chicago, Sacramento, or Indiana, would you trade those guys for just the number two pick? Because I wouldn't. Now, especially a guy like Paul George, who I think is still, what, 25 years old?
Yeah, they're not. Especially, you got to consider their situations where Sacramento's moving into a new arena. They're not trying to, and they don't have their lottery pick in 2019. They're not trying to tear things down. And Larry Bird isn't trying to go through a rebuild.
Yeah. Larry Bird's kind of like Pat Riley in the regard that he doesn't want to rebuild. He just wants to find ways to reload. You know,
yeah.
They don't really, they're not really patient, I guess. So, and Harrison, I'm glad you mentioned the Thunder, because I've talked about this a little bit on, I guess I've tweeted it out, but when you look at a team like the Thunder, or you look at a team like Golden State now, teams that, you know, built their cores around, you know, their draft picks, the sustainability that comes with it is so rewarding. I know it sucks because, you know, you don't want to wait a few years of growth, you know, where you're struggling like the Lakers have, and you're just kind of taking baby steps. I mean, you look at the Thunder. In 2010, they were a 50-win team. They were the 8th seed, but they were a 50-win team and lost to the Lakers in the first round. But since that point, they've been a contender every year that they've been healthy. And if Durant, you know, re-ups with them this summer and they re-sign Westbrook and Ibaka or whoever next summer, I mean, they're going to be in contention for at least a few more years. So you're talking, what, a 9-10-year window where they're really, really good. And that's kind of the benefit you get with building through the draft. So, you know, you have to utilize all your assets, whether it's draft, trades, or free agency, but, you know, building your core through the draft on team-friendly contracts, I mean, certainly has really, really just great benefits. So, anyways, before I ramble on too much, at BJ_Meta And he spells meta correctly. Interesting. He asks, do you guys have confidence in the front office? He says he's been super critical in the past, but feel they deserve a lot of credit right now. Hani, do you have faith in the front office, or is it more kind of like a recency bias that they've just done really well this offseason?
I think a little bit of both, but I never wavered too far off from the front office, except for the fact that Byron Scott was hired and employed for 2 years. Outside of that, I think they've done a fine job. They've had problems in terms of like focusing too much on star free agents that were probably never going to come to LA and missing out on those guys and then not getting anything better. But overall, I don't think it's been a bad strategy just because I think they've been content with trying to keep their picks and building through the draft if they couldn't get a star. So I think I'm for the most part, I've been okay with the front office anyway.
Yeah, Harrison, I mean, you have faith in the front office?
Yeah, I think measured faith. I don't think that you can say, like, they've had a real... They have... I don't know that them having a successful offseason this season and the front office's competency are necessarily, like, you know, mutually exclusive. I think that the Lakers, I mean, what did they do this offseason? They hired Luke Walton, which seems to be a good move. We don't know, but they didn't do anything to keep the second overall pick. Like, they went to New York and got it. The lottery balls bounced their way, but that's not anything they did. Like, we have to see what they do in the draft, and we have to see what they do in free agency. But I would say that I have measured confidence in them because, like Hani said, their major flaw has been just swinging and missing on major star free agents. But other than that, I think that they've made some good additions.
Yeah, I think the most encouraging thing for me, obviously besides the pick, which, Harrison, you mentioned, they didn't really have any control over, is the fact that they've kind of talked about just moving to a more modern approach. You know, that was kind of the reasoning behind bringing Luke Walton in, was the fact that they, you know, they want to join the party, so to speak, and you know, utilize small ball lineups and space the floor and shoot threes and move the basketball and all that stuff. And I think it's just kind of the change in the mindset where they kind of cut ties with Byron Scott, which was big for not only them, but, you know, to restore some faith in the fan base. I think that's what's got just kind of what you said, Harrison, measured faith in them. But I will say, considering the circumstances of what happened with the 2012-2013 season where they pushed so much stock into it, they haven't really felt the repercussions of that yet because they haven't had to transfer a high draft pick yet. And they've done a hell of a job recovering from that, considering the circumstances. So, I mean, it's fair to have faith in them, but it's also fair to have your reserves, too, until we see what they really do this offseason. So.
Yeah, and again, like, them having one of the worst teams in basketball 2 years in a row is, you know, that is on the front office in some ways. And, like, well, they've been dealt some bad luck, but you can't fully just say, like, I have faith in these guys when the team's been this bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. There's kind of a mixture of both, but...
But yeah, there are reasons to have some confidence. Sorry, I don't want to get too hot takey there. Like, there are reasons to have some, but you definitely can't have full... I don't know that you can have full faith that, like, these guys know what they're doing and that they're going to do an excellent job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a mixture of both, but, like, I wrote a little bit, or I think last week, I don't know, my days are all running together now, but... I mean, this offseason, honestly, has been perfect for them so far because they've kind of hit on all the things that you'd want them to hit on. You know, they got one of the top coaching candidates on the market, Luke Walton. They got the assistant coach that he wants with Brian Shaw. They've landed the number 2 overall pick. They have, you know, a bunch of cap space. They sent Kobe Bryant out on the right note. I mean, it's been a really fun offseason because everything's kind of bounced their way. So hopefully that continues into June and into July. So... I think we just have a couple more questions here. This one is from Isaac and a bunch of numbers, 8810-6551.
Is that his phone number?
Might be his social security number. Who knows? But he asks, who fits in better with what we have so far, Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram? And I would imagine, are we all in agreement that it's probably Brandon Ingram in terms of just a skill set standpoint?
Yeah, he fits better right now.
Oh, sure.
And I think that Ben Simmons might still be the better prospect. So I don't know. Like, I definitely wouldn't be disappointed if the Lakers got him.
Oh,
but
exactly.
I think that in terms of fit, Brandon Ingram fits a lot better.
Yeah, and that's been the weird thing with these two prospects, because they're head and shoulders above everybody else. But because I see Ben Simmons as the top prospect in this draft as well, but Ingram is a guy that just fits seamlessly in just about any offense in the league. And it's just weird. You know, you have the number one prospect who's not a great fit with a lot of teams, and the number two guy.
You have to build around him.
Yeah, exactly. And Ingram, you can just kind of plug in, and it fits right away. So an interesting dynamic to think about for Philadelphia. But I think this might be the last question. I'll have to scroll farther up. But at Anthony7... I'll probably totally butcher this, but Quijano, something along those lines, just asks, who has more potential, DeMar DeRozan or Jordan Clarkson? Honey, who would you take, I guess, in terms of a potential standpoint?
I guess Clarkson, just because he's younger, and the one big knock on DeRozan is that he can't shoot, and Clarkson isn't a great shooter yet, but it looks like he's improving. Like, he improved between his first and second season, so I guess Clarkson has the higher potential. DeRozan's the better player right now, though, so.
Yeah, Harrison, would you agree? I mean, Clarkson with the youth, I would imagine he has more potential, right? Even though DeRozan might be a better player, so to speak, right now.
I guess, I don't know. It depends on how you're defining potential. I guess if you're, like, potential to get better, I don't think that DeMar DeRozan is going to get much better than where he is right now, but I also don't necessarily think that Clarkson's ever going to be a whole lot better than where DeMar DeRozan is right now. So it's kind of an interesting question, I guess. I don't know. It just kind of depends on how you define potential. Like, Clarkson, I think, has more potential to get better than where he is currently, but I don't know. Again, I don't know if that he's ever going to be better than DeMar. I do know that he's going to be cheaper than DeMar. And so I don't know if you're the Lakers, you want to have both, because their kind of skill sets overlap a little bit, and I don't know how much you can play them together unless you're playing Clarkson at the point.
Right. And with Clarkson, you have the chemistry kind of already set in place, because him and D'Angelo Russell are pretty close. I mean, the young core seems to be a pretty close group. And just having the cheaper option, I think he fits pretty well alongside D'Angelo. So I think it would be more beneficial to just kind of stick with Clarkson and pay probably max money for DeMar DeRozan. So, okay, I think this is the last one. Actually, we'll throw it to this one, I guess, first. There's two more. At Chris M. Pictures asks, do you think any of the young core has the potential to spend their full career with the team? Harrison, do you think, I mean, you see any of these guys being pretty much like Kobe and spending their whole career here?
I'd say Russell, if not for the whole, like, Snapchat weirdness thing last year. Mm-hmm. I just, like, I don't totally know, I guess, like where that puts his relationship with the team because of, you know, like, everything that happened. I don't know. I think that stuff affects locker rooms more than we think about when we're just looking at on-court fit and who's the better player and all that stuff. But yeah. I think out of the young guys, it's definitely Russell still.
Yeah. Hani, would you agree that it's Russell?
Yeah, and I guess I don't put as much stock in the whole thing that happened over the over last season, just because I think most of the guys, the veterans, are the people that are probably more ticked off, and they're all going to be gone either this year or next year.
The worry is, like, veterans around the league, are they going to trust him? There are those rumors out there that maybe they won't. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I still don't think that the Lakers would move away from him, at least anytime soon, because of that. And if they're going to move away from him anytime later, then I don't think it'll be because of the thing that happened during his rookie year.
Yeah, I would have to say Russell, too, just because I think his ceiling is the highest of the young players on the team right now. I literally think he has superstar potential. You know, I don't know if he'll ever be as good as, like, Steph Curry or anything, but he could be really, really good to the point where, you know, the Lakers are not going to let him get away. Or at least you're going to do everything in their power not to. And
yeah, and a lot of if guys want to play with him is going to depend on how good he gets.
Yeah, For sure. But I do like how he's kind of responded to the whole incident, and he's been a lot quieter on social media, and when he does post things on social media, it's usually him in the gym, you know, working on his game or just working on his body. So so I like the way he's responded to it, and I think that's important. But, you know, there's definitely some concern on how maybe some other players in the league might view it. So kind of be interesting to see how that all unfolds. But all right, this is the last question from Drew Hernandez, who's at Des Drew, one of our rookies. He's just asked, what's a realistic win over or under for next season, and what are your guesses for the young guys' stat lines? We'll leave that second part alone just because I think we'll all agree that they'll get better. It's just hard to put numbers on all of them, considering we're kind of running out of time. But
and off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Hani, what do you have a realistic win over under next season for the Lakers?
Let's say 30.5. I think if they really overachieve, they could get over it. But I'm guessing based on hoping that they get a couple of free agents and based on coaching that they'll get to about 30 wins.
Yeah. Harrison, do you have a different number?
Well, the Warriors, they won 73 with Luke Walton on their roster, right? So, I mean, I guess if we're going to account for, like, the loss of talent, I guess, like, I'll go 50. I'm just kidding. I agree with Hani. I think 30.5. I was going to say 29.5, but now that sounds like I'm just, like, I'm doing the Price is Right thing, yeah. But no joke, that's what I was planning to say.
$1.
I was going to say, does that mean I have to put the over-under at 1.5?
Yeah.
If they win less, I would win. No, yeah, I would agree. Around 30 is a realistic target for right now because, I mean, it's hard to guess just because you don't know what's going to happen in free agency. But I think based on probably natural growth from the young guys and far better coaching, I would assume.
And, like, at least a couple. You would think they'd get some capable veteran help in free agency, even if they don't get, like, Kevin Durant or some other, like, game-changing free agent.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, if you look at, say they won 30 wins, like, yeah, that, you know, that means they would lose 52 times, but down from 17 wins, if you have a win improvement by 13, I mean, that's a pretty significant jump. So, unless they hit it big in free agency or, you know, say Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons or any of the other young guys turns out to just take a massive leap in production this year, you're probably looking at a growth around that. I would say probably 13 to 15 wins if they're lucky. But it's, I don't know. It's hard to say with half the roster being, you know, intact right now. So, all right, that's going to do it. I apologize we didn't get to everybody's questions. A lot of them were kind of repetitive, but we've got a lot at the
end. Sure, just insult the viewers.
A lot of Byron Scott questions, which I don't really want to get to, but...
Who? I don't know that. I don't think anybody by that name's involved with the Lakers.
Oh, he's... No, it's that author. Author Byron.
Okay. I don't read books.
Motivational handbook. I'm manning up.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for us. Hani, thanks again for always kind of being my Pau Gasol to my Kobe Bryant or Kobe to my
Shaq. Oh
my God. And Harrison, thanks for breaking away from Silver Screen and Roll to join us here for a little bit. I appreciate it. And I guess you mentioned your Luke Walton piece. What else can you tell us about that? I'll give you another shameless plug here before we sign off.
Okay, well, I spoke to a couple defenders that played for him, and I spoke to Casey Owens, who worked with him with the defenders. He's the defenders head coach right now. And I also gathered quotes from other people's writing because I'm not big time enough that I can just, like, interview Draymond Green or something. But I was able to find quotes that kind of fit. It was just telling a story of why I think that he'll have success in Los Angeles, and I think that a lot of it is going to be creating a more positive culture, and I also think that he's bringing some actual, like, coaching talent, like schematic talent. It's not just going to be, like, you know, getting the guys to sing Kumbaya in the locker room. It sounds like he knows what he's doing just from, like, a scheme standpoint, and he's going to have the Lakers playing modern basketball. And so I think that I'm high on the addition. I think I'm excited to see what he does in summer league with the young guys and with whatever player the Lakers draft. And I guess we'll go, and then whatever free agents the Lakers add, and we'll see what they do this this fall. But I think it looks pretty good right now.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be excited about, especially after the coaching that we had to deal with the first or these last 2 years. So, if you, for those of you still tuning in with us, make sure you check that out. Harrison's always really good at producing quality content, and that's the only nice thing I'm going to say about him. But but thank you to everybody that sent us questions. I was surprised at the turnout that we got. That was just a ton of questions. And thank you, too, again for joining me. And we'll hopefully get another podcast up here soon, but kind of need something to some more Laker news to talk about. But always be sure to tune into LakersOutsiders.com. We'll have you covered with the latest news and everything. And thanks, guys, and thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys next time.
All right, thanks to our friends at SeatGeek.